What are you doing here?
No. Sup, you beautiful bastards. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. It is Tuesday, May 4th, 2021. Hit that like button, subscribe, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing that we're gonna talk about today in entertainment and business news are the absolutely huge and wild updates to the lawsuit that Triller filed regarding the Jake Paul fight. Right, so last week, if you missed it, Triller filed a $100 million piracy suit against several individuals and websites that illegally streamed the Jake Paul-Ben Askren fight. But now, we've got this new Reuters report that's given us some more insight, with Triller reportedly now saying that they will not pursue legal action against individuals who pirated the pay-per-view so long as they pay the $49.99 that it costs to purchase the fight by June 1st. However, for those who do not do this, Triller says that they will pursue the full $150,000 penalty per person. And very notably, the Reuters report also revealed that the H3 podcast website is among those being sued for piracy, with Triller's head of piracy saying, "The fines are calculated at $150,000 per instance, so for H3 and other sites who rebroadcast the event to many people, the potential damages are large." Now with this, reportedly H3 did not give a comment to Reuters, but Ethan Klein later shared a screenshot of the article and wrote, "Apparently I'm being sued by Triller. News to me, especially considering I did not rebroadcast it or pirate it. What?" Though he has since deleted that tweet, it's unclear exactly why he did that or what he was meaning there. Also, he might have deleted that tweet because he had a number of people then sharing a clip from one of his podcasts after the Jake Paul fight where he said,
"But you know, I don't know why the ref called it. I just found that the obscene."
You know what?
Like, I waited so long for that.
You watched?
I watched the whole. I bootlegged it. I pirated it.
Right, and so with that clip, he had some saying, boom, it proves that he pirated it. He said it, his own words, he's caught on camera. But at the same time, you had others saying, no, he's obviously saying this in passing, it's just a joke. But regardless of where the truth may actually lie, you get into this weird legal situation. Because Ethan Klein nor H3 appear to have rebroadcast the event, and they appear, if anything, to be in the I pirated it for myself area. Do you just pay the $49.99 so it goes away, or do you actually deal with litigation? Now, obviously, the situation is developing. We're gonna have to see what happens next, but I also reached out to Ethan Klein to see if he had any response or comment to all of this that's happening. And here, he gave me the statement, "I did not want to support a credibly accused rapist, but I did not broadcast the link, only watch what was readily available." And adding, "I didn't host anything." But yeah, ultimately, we're gonna have to wait and see, because like I said, this is still a developing situation. But with that said, I would love to know your thoughts on this. Because, man, I've seen a whole wide range of reactions to this. Like, on one side, I've seen people kind of like rooting for Triller to sue Ethan Klein, like make an example out of him, all the way to the other side where you have people saying the Triller lawsuit is bullshit, it's in part a way to try and get press about the event. Some going even further saying Triller is threatening this litigation against H3 specifically because on his podcast he has brought up the sexual assault allegations against Jake Paul, who, I mean, we've talked about it on the show, has equity in Triller. But yeah, with that said, I'd love to know where y'all's heads are at on this. Then, remember how a few weeks ago I talked about that news coverage and the surveys coming out that more people than ever had body issues coming out of the pandemic, getting into the summer? And my general reaction to that news was, screw that, I just lost a year of my life effectively. I'm gonna be out there completely comfortable. I'm gonna have a happy and comfortable fat boy / fat daddy summer. And well, it appears that a good chunk of the United States is of that same mind. We're gonna have a sexy time summer. Because according to the research firm IRI, US condom sales increased 23.4% to $37 million within 4 weeks in late March and early April compared to the same stretch a year ago. And that's after seeing a 4.4% drop in all of 2020. So essentially, coming out of this pandemic, or at the very least this lockdown, going, I'm gonna go live life, but not bring more life into the world. Which makes sense. There is very likely a lot of pent-up sexual frustration. In fact, according to the Match.com 2020 Singles in America survey, 71% of singles reported that they have not had sex during the pandemic. But yeah, ultimately my reaction to condom sales going up, it's seeming like we are primed for a hot vax summer. It is good if you're gonna go out there and you're being safe about it. Hell yeah, live your life. If there is any sort of silver lining we can put together from the horror show that was the last year, is that we need to live our life because we don't know what's around the corner. You know, a lot of us have that thing in the back of our heads where we're like, man, I don't want to be on my deathbed when I'm 90 or whatever age we've made up, that's when it's over. No, I don't want to be there filled with regret, but it's so far off in the distance for you that there's no reason for maybe immediate action. Whereas I think this last year made us realize, hey, it doesn't matter what age we are. Let's say in 6 months, we ended up having to do some sort of other lockdown, right? There's another wave, it's way worse. What do you wish that you have done before you have to go back to something like the last year that we experienced, or maybe even worse? Also, in other news, though it's connected to more of the other aspect of people gaining weight during the pandemic, we saw Will Smith popping up in the news because he came out and explained that he's actually been struggling with weight and his body, posting a photo saying, I'm gonna be real with y'all, I'm in the worst shape of my life. And in response, well, yeah, guess you had some people saying, I see no worst here. You also had a ton of people extremely appreciative that he shared this because it's incredibly relatable to a huge chunk of the population right now. Right, pandemic weight gain is a very real thing. Also, you know, we've seen more and more women coming out talking about their bodies, but I also think it's great to see men talking about their struggles, which is in no way rare. I mean, for example, a study from the UK-based suicide prevention charity Campaign Against Living Miserably on Instagram just found that 48% of men aged 16 to 40 struggled because of how they viewed their body, with 58% of the men surveyed saying that the pandemic had affected how they feel about their body in a negative way. But also CynicPhil reporting for duty. Before we go out and give Will Smith the International Medal for Courage and other stuff, the news just broke this morning that he's doing a 6-part docuseries with YouTube Originals called Best Shape of My Life. It is set to air in 2022, and according to Entertainment Weekly, the official description says, it will tell the story of Will Smith looking up one day to find himself in middle age, rebuilding his body into the best shape of his life, and getting his groove back along the way. And adding that it will show Smith challenging himself to improve every aspect of his fitness, from agility to power to recovery and more, teaming up with guests including pro athletes, scientists, and experts, and top YouTube creators. With Will posting himself in all caps that he's gonna get in the best shape of my life. Right, so naturally we saw some pushback, people going, oh, this isn't Will Smith actually wanting other people to feel okay, this is a cash grab, this is promotion for another future project. But on the other hand, you have people saying it can be both things. It can be Will Smith, yes, making money from a project, but also something that sends out a really helpful message. Right? If his pandemic weight gain was lemons, this is Will Smith essentially making lemonade. But yeah, there, I do want to know your thoughts, right? Which camp do you land in? Does it feel empty or no, it's a win-win? And then let's take a second to pay some bills and thank the fantastic sponsor of today's show, Vesti. You know, honestly, it is hard to find lightweight shoes that actually keep your feet warm and dry through rain, snow, mud, and Vesti definitely surprised me with these. Vesti makes 100% waterproof and snowproof sneakers that are incredibly comfortable, breathable, and actually pretty stylish. Personally, I wear both their Cityscape sneakers and their latest release, the Weekend Shoe. Their Dymatex material is a dual climate knit that keeps you cool in the summer and warm in the winter, which truly makes this the everyday sneaker, even in the wet season. These shoes are perfect for running errands, the gym, going to the park with the kids, or even on muddy hikes. And with the Weekend Shoe, you can just rinse them off or even throw them right into the washing machine. It is really that easy. And honestly, it really does make a great gift for both you and your loved ones. So be sure to grab some now for the rainy season while they still have your size, and you will thank me later. But yeah, go to vesti.com/DeFranco right now and be sure to use code DeFranco at checkout to get $25 off. And then let's talk about drugs, and more specifically, the potential approval and or legalization of certain drugs. You know, one of the last times we talked about marijuana legalization, I talked about how public opinion has so drastically changed over the 15 years that I've been doing this show. Right, I mean, since the beginning, I spoke out and said I support decriminalization, legalization of medical and recreational, but now that's no longer risque or taboo to say it as the mainstream opinion. Right, and so with that, the question becomes, well, what is the next big hurdle, right? So what's something that is illegal now that may see legalization to some degree in the future? Personally, I think we could see that, maybe should see that with mushrooms. But then also, we could see further backing behind drugs like MDMA, aka ecstasy or Molly for medical use. And this because we're seeing things like reports from the New York Times on a soon-to-be published study about MDMA that found that the drug was shown to bring relief to people suffering from severe post-traumatic stress disorder when paired with talk therapy. Right, so as far as the specifics, the study is expected to be published in Nature Medicine later this month, and it reportedly involved 80 therapists across 15 sites in the United States, Canada, and Israel, as well as 90 participants who had severe PTSD and have been diagnosed on average for more than 14 years. This including combat veterans, first responders, and victims of sexual assault, mass shootings, domestic violence, or childhood trauma. And what's wild with this is that after just 2 months of this treatment, 67% of participants who received MDMA-assisted therapy, they no longer qualified for a PTSD diagnosis compared to just 32% who did not take the drug. Right, so before taking MDMA or the placebo, the participants first had sessions with 2 trained therapists. They then underwent 3 8-hour sessions once a month during which they received the drug or placebo, and neither participants nor therapists were told who was given MDMA or the placebo. Though, unsurprisingly, most participants correctly guessed which they had received, but reportedly this did not undermine the results or methodology. As far as the side effects here, the study claims they saw no one having serious adverse ones, though some participants reported minor symptoms like nausea or loss of appetite, with the Times noting that this information moves MDMA closer to getting FDA authorization for therapeutic use. But also before that can happen, the FDA needs a second positive phase 3 trial, which is currently underway with 100 participants. So far away, but also relatively close, right? The approval could come as early as 2023. And very importantly, mental health researchers also say that these studies could encourage additional research on other banned psychedelics. But also, I mean, for what it's worth regarding legalization, you should very much expect that it would only be in the world of medicinal or therapeutic aids, right? Because you have the report noting that MDMA taken without therapy does not necessarily result in improved PTSD symptoms. With a senior author and director of the study saying, it's not the drug, it's the therapy enhanced by the drug. And, I mean, as far as my opinion, no surprise here, I really do hope that we keep seeing positive results here. Because, I mean, honestly, any way we can help people dealing with the just living nightmare of PTSD, yes. Then, in international news, we should definitely talk about Colombia, which has been rocked by huge protests. In fact, as of yesterday, 800 have been wounded, 19 have died, with police saying they have arrested at least 400 protesters, accused many more of torching at least 100 buses, and identifying 17,000 individuals breaking mask mandates, with them also adding that at least 540 officers have sustained injuries so far. As far as how we got here, I mean, you had tens of thousands of people taking to the streets to protest a proposed tax hike, right, with the goal of that tax hike being to bring in more money to the government after the pandemic ravaged tax revenue. With the government saying they wanted to add tariffs to everyday goods while keeping in place cash subsidies for poor citizens, but people felt that the tax hikes would ultimately hurt the people. And with these protests, we often end up seeing, especially when there's a hard crackdown, the police presence and the police handling end up just adding more fuel to the fire. With many feeling that the police response was heavy-handed, as police were quick to confront protesters with extreme violence. With instances like you had a ninth grader that reportedly kicked an officer, then trying to run away before getting shot. And even after the police were criticized for their response, the president there deployed even more police to the streets of Colombia's biggest cities. Also, beyond their heavy-handed response, many have felt that Colombia's leaders are out of touch by trying to paint the protests in a bad light. For example, former President Alvaro Uribe sparked major backlash after he wrote on Twitter that Colombians should support, quote, the right of soldiers and police officers to use their weapons to defend themselves against terrorism, with that tweet actually later being taken down by Twitter for violating rules regarding the glorification of violence. And actually, as of right now, it appears that the protesters have made some gains. On Sunday, the president of Colombia announced that he would withdraw his current proposal and look into a new plan, although he added that the reform is not a whim, the reform is a necessity. Following that, yesterday we saw the country's finance minister announcing his resignation. But despite that, people have still continued to take to the streets as the protest has kind of morphed into a general outcry against rising poverty, income inequality, and unemployment. But I mean, since the pandemic began, Colombia's economy shrank by 7%, and poverty rose from 36 to 43% of the population. And unfortunately, it is very likely that we'll be covering similar stories in the months to come, because a number of experts believe that many countries around the world, particularly in South America, will face similar problems as they try to stabilize tax revenue after spending large sums of money to help those affected by the pandemic. Then, we should definitely talk about President Biden now announcing that he's going to raise America's annual cap on the number of refugees allowed in the country to 62,500, reversing a previous decision. Right, I don't know if you missed it, but 2 weeks ago, Biden said that he was going to keep the cap at 15,000, which was the historically low limit first imposed by the Trump administration. Biden's decision then was met with a ton of backlash from Democrats and refugee advocates who condemned Biden for going back on his word. Right, while he was running for president, he actually promised that he'd allow as many as 125,000 refugees to enter the country in his first year in office. Then, after elected and during his first major foreign policy speech back in February, he swore to increase the cap to 62,500 refugees for the rest of the fiscal year, which ends September 30th. But then Biden deciding to keep Trump's limits while he was facing blowback from Republicans over the massive influx of migrants and specifically unaccompanied migrant children seeking U.S. entry at the southern border. With him then walking that back, though, notably here, in Biden's official statement on the reversal, he insisted that the increased refugee cap would be hard to meet, saying the sad truth is that we will not achieve 62,500 admissions this year, adding we are working quickly to undo the damage of the last 4 years. It will take some time, but that work is already underway. With him adding that the budget that he submitted to Congress included his goal of raising the cap to 125,000 for his first fiscal year in office, but noting, we might not make it the first year, but we are going to use every tool available to help these fully vetted refugees fleeing horrific conditions in their home countries. But of course, reaching that goal and ultimately what this is going to look like will depend on Congress, where Republicans are already pushing back on the 62,500 cap. Then, in big COVID-19 and vaccination news, we have the FDA now set to approve the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for 12 to 15 year olds next week. With this expected move coming just a month after a clinical trial found that the vaccine, which is currently the only vaccine approved for 16 and 17 year olds, is just as effective, if not even more effective, in children aged 12 to 15 as it was for adults. Pfizer reporting that none of the teens who received the vaccine developed symptomatic infections, a sign of powerful protection, and that they also produced strong antibody responses and had about the same side effects as people 16 to 25. So as far as what happens next regarding the FDA clearance, that could come as early as this week. From there, the CDC's vaccine advisory panel will likely meet the next day to review the clinical trial data and make recommendations. And then it's essentially just about implementation, and that's incredibly significant again due to the timing, because it would significantly expand the country's vaccination campaign ahead of summer activities in the next school year. And notably, this announcement also comes as the American Academy of Pediatrics reported just yesterday that children now account for more than a fifth of new coronavirus cases in states that release data by age. But according to the data, they made up 22% of new infections reported in the past week compared to 3% last year. Though, of course, you have experts noting that a big reason for this is that adults have been getting vaccinated. So the cases among adult Americans, those have been going down. But public health officials also say that the spikes are due to, at least in part, the easing of restrictions on school activities. And ultimately, with this story and honestly anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in those comments down below, because this is the end of today's show. As always, thank you for watching, liking the video, subscribing, all the good stuff. If you're looking for more to watch, whether it be more of my news coverage or my brand new podcast, you can click or tap right there. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.